Let's pray. Father, heaven, our God and Lord, we thank you so much for this time of celebration, time of joy, time of receiving encouraging word from you. Would you please open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts and minds so that we may hear the good news of Jesus Christ. To that end, use me now. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We all have our favorite Christmas movies. I trust I have some. I'm sure you have some too. In a recent poll, it rated the top 50 most popular favorite Christmas movies of all time. And I'm going to name three. The top three are, okay, Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life, and Home Alone. Now, we're going to take a vote, and we want to find out which one you like. So let's go to a Christmas Story. Back to Christmas Story. The famous scene, my popular scene in this movie is the two boys in the playground, and they're daring each other, okay? And so one boy says to the other, hey, I triple dog darn dare you to stick your tongue on this frozen flagpole. And he does so, and you know what happens after that, right? I love this scene, okay? Now, if you think this movie should be one of the top three, raise your hand. Raise your hand, okay? So one. Okay, very popular, very good. You're all alone, Linda. All right, how about one of the classics? It's a Wonderful Life. James Stewart. Love this movie. I never get sick of watching this movie. It is so cool. It is so moving. How many of you, raise your hand, if you think that this movie should be one of the top three? It's a Wonderful Life. All right, little more, and they're all old people. Very good. Okay. Okay, last one. Christmas Vacation, featuring none other than Chevy Chase. Raise your hand if you think this should be one of the top three. Only two, three. Now, you weren't sure, okay? All right, okay. Very good, very good. Now, here's one of my favorites. Are you ready for this? One of my top, one movie that should be in the top three is Home Alone. How many of you seen this movie? Whoa, look at this, okay? How many of you seen this movie more than once, like twice? Okay, same number. How many of you seen this more than three times? Five times? Get a life. You have way too much time in your hand. Do something more useful, okay? This movie is a story about Kevin McAllister, who is accidentally left at home while his family went overseas vacation. Okay? It's a really, really fun story. Now, here's the thing. When you watch for the first time with the fresh eyes, it's really fun, really interesting, but you like it so much you watch it for the second time, and third time, fourth and fifth time, and by then you are so familiar with the story and the plot and all the twists, and you might even fast forward to the fun part, you know, the place where the robbers come to the house. That's where the fun begins, okay? But by so doing, here's what could happen. Because you are familiar with the story, you may miss out on some of the nuances, some of the really cool things that are captured in the movie. The reason I say is, I think same thing can be said about the Christmas Story. We're in the season of going through the series called Fresh Eyes. Fresh Eyes, looking at Christmas in a new light. Because you know the story, don't you? The Christmas Story. It's about Joseph, it's about Mary, it's about baby being born in a manger, because you know the story so well, and there's so much familiarity in the storytelling, you might miss out on some of the really cool and important nuances of the story. And I think this is what we are trying to look at. And for the next 4 weeks, we want to look at some of the characters in this Christmas story and go a little deeper. Or put on this lens of the fresh eyes and say, hey, can we look at Christmas Story in a new light? Because at the end, it all comes down to this message. Everyone, lean forward. The whole story, I'm over here. The whole story is about God of heavens, the Creator God coming down and saying to you, I love you. I love you unconditionally. I love you just the way you are. You don't have to change anything for me to love you. I already accept you and love you. And because I love you so much, I will change you. And your life will be different. You'll be transformed. But it all begins with very, very humble beginnings, doesn't it? This baby being born in a really, really poor family. Mary and Joseph, they were on the bottom of the totem pole. Very poor family. They were uneducated. They were not wealthy. They had nothing to offer. And yet, this baby Jesus, supposed to be the Son of God, the person who's going to save the world, the one who's going to take us to the promised land, this very important figure is being born in a such low position. If we were to write the story, if you were given the pen from God, God says to you, hey, look, here's what you're going to write, okay? Here's the plot. Write a story in which the Savior of the world, the one who's going to make you happy, joy-filled, powerful, the person that you always wanted to be, God is going to make you that person through this Savior, Jesus Christ. Write how he is to be born. Write how he is to live his life. Chances are, you would not include the following facts. You would not say, this very important figure, when he was born, there was no room at the hotel. He had to be born in a manger filled with manure and the smell of urine among the sheep. Why would you write that? You might say, hey, someone dropped the ball. Angel Gabriel, where are you? Weren't you supposed to call Expedia.com and reserve a hotel room? And he goes, no, we use Expedia.ca here. Thank you so much. Okay? Why would you include such humble beginnings for such an important figure? And the good news of his birth was told to none other than people like shepherds. You know who they were, shepherds? You know who they were? Let me tell you who they were. They were nobodies. If an important figure like that would be born today, you and I would write in the script, let there be fireworks. Let the goodness of this birth be proclaimed on the Instagrams, Facebooks, and let the videos go viral. Let the whole world know. But that's not what happened. This humble beginning of Jesus Christ was hush, hush, hush. The reason I say this is, isn't it true that the story of Christmas was such an unlikely event that the Savior of the world would face such hardship, that Mary and Joseph would face such challenges? And the reason we want to ask this question is, I think sometimes if you and I were to write the same story, we would have written it differently. We would have written it with people that would help Jesus Christ, people with action and power who will support them. I think here is a really good thing. We wouldn't write the Christmas story the way God wrote it because many times we don't agree with how God is writing our story. Let me repeat that. We wouldn't write the Christmas story the way God wrote it because you and I intuitively and experientially know we don't agree with how God is writing our own story. Don't you feel that way sometimes? In your life, in your story, there are plot twists. There's turns and there are surprises that you don't want to be included in your story. Whoa, this is not supposed to be part of my script, God. What are you doing? You gave me the wrong script. Do you ever feel like saying, I was supposed to make new friends when I went to a new junior high school, but then I got bullied. I was supposed to make the honor roll in my high school, but my grades are barely passing. I was supposed to take my sports team to the nationals, but we lost in the first round. I was supposed to finish college by last year, but now I'm in my fifth year, and I don't know when I will graduate. I was supposed to be financially independent, but now I had to move into my parents' basement. I was supposed to be married by the age of 30, but I was supposed to be a parent by now, but I was supposed to be healed of my emotional, physical wounds by now, but I was supposed to have a husband by now, a spouse by now, but our children, our loved ones are supposed to be, they're supposed to have it all together, but they're confused, they're lost. God, what are you writing in my story? Don't you feel that way sometimes? Here's a guess. I think one reason the Christmas story is filled with hardship, challenges, and the turn of events that you wouldn't expect from the birth of the Savior of the world, I think one reason for that is God knew. God knew what you would be going through. That God knew that you are living in a broken world. That God knew the pains and the sorrows and the confusion that you are feeling today. Maybe God knew that He's supposed to give you comfort and hope today. I think that's one reason that the Christmas story is filled with such unexpected events and turns and plot twists. Today I want to introduce to you a teenage girl who can identify, empathize with what you are going through perhaps. And she's going to share with all of us what she felt as to what God was doing. God, why are you writing my story in that way? But furthermore, most importantly, at the very end, I think there's a really short, simple prayer that this young girl says to God. A simple prayer, just two sentences, which will be such a blessing and a gift to us all. Because Christmas story is not about you, nor about Mary. It's about the one who is being born, who is coming into the world. So would you turn with me, chapter 1 of Luke. Okay, Luke had two occupations. He was a physician, he was a doctor. And second, he was a journalist. He went around and took historical account of the life, the birth, the life, the teaching, and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what he writes in chapter 1 of Luke. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Elizabeth was, she and her husband Zechariah, they were old in their age, and she was told that she could never have a child. Okay? So she is an old age, beyond her bearing years. In the sixth month of her pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel. Now, whenever the Bible mentions the name of the angel, that's a big deal, okay? Oftentimes, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord said, the angel of the Lord appeared, but if there is a name attached to the angel, that is something big, something really important is about to happen. The angel Gabriel was sent to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin placed to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Now, in those days, if you are engaged, that meant you were legally binding, you were declared as a husband and wife. So it's not like today. Today you get engaged, but you're not married until you are sworn and you go through the wedding ceremony. No, in those days, once you're engaged, once you're pledged to be married, you were a couple, a husband and wife. You weren't having sex, too bad, but you were legally binding, okay? So that's what was happening to Mary and Joseph. A descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Okay? And here's Mary's response. A bit surprising, you might think. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, friends, why would she be troubled at the words of the angel? Okay. Well, that's because she knew her Bible. If you read the Bible, whenever God's angel appears, sometimes people were troubled and greatly concerned because of the majesty of the angel. That is to say, if an angel of God appeared before you, and by his beauty and glory and majesty, you would go, wow, this is amazing. And you would tremble and you would be in fear because of the glory of the angel. Now, think it through. If that's how we might feel looking at an angel, then how much would we be trembling and concerned and troubled if we were to see the glory and the majesty and the beauty of God? Okay? Now, however, Mary is not troubled by the appearance of the angel, is she? She is troubled by at his words, what he said. So here's what she knew. Every time an angel of God appears in the Bible, or God appears to somebody in the Bible, two things are going to happen. Something wonderful is going to happen. Something glorious, something big, something, whoa, I want to be a part of that. The second thing happens is, whoever that person might be, before receiving their promise and blessing, that person would have to go through all kinds of turns and twists, hardship and challenges. For example, when God appeared before Abraham, God said, Abe, I'm going to bless you. You will be a blessing, and everyone will be blessed by you. And there's something great that's about to happen. But then God says to him, leave your family, leave your father's household, leave everything that's familiar to you behind, and leave, go into the land I will show you. And you don't know where you're going, you just leave. That is hard. That's a challenge. That's something we don't want. God appeared before Moses, and he says, I am going to save my people from Pharaoh, and I'm going to set them free. Oh, that's great, God, Moses thought. But then God says, Moses, you go to Pharaoh. I'm sending you, and bring my people free. And Moses had to face his fears. He had to face the mistakes of his past. Something good is about to happen, but then there's always this challenge, hardship, twists and turns. And that's what Mary was feeling. I hear you say something wonderful will happen, but what does it mean for me? How is it going to mess up my life? How is it going to create discomfort and unwanted things in my life? Well, let's go on. Let's find out how Mary responds to all that. In verse 30, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Do not be scared. Do not be troubled. You have found favor with God. Not that she was worthy. God is not coming to marry Mary because she is qualified. No, it says God is showing favor to Mary by coming to her. It's not she's not worthy of God's glory, but God is so loving, so kind that he chooses to use Mary just the way he chooses to use you and me. Verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son. And you are to call him Jesus, which means God will save his people from their sins. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, that's the King David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Friends, look up here. What angel is speaking to Mary through from God is this. A child will be born, and this is no ordinary child. This child will rule and reign forever. His kingdom will never end. Meaning, this child will be divine. This child will be the son of the Most High God. Someone very special. It's a baby, yes. At the same time, this person, this baby, is divine, 100% human, 100% God, and he's going to save us and bring about hope into our lives. Mary gets the great picture, but then she asks, how can this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. As God is speaking to Mary, here's what Mary is saying. I don't understand what you are saying to me. I don't understand how this could happen knowing where I am. I don't understand why this is happening to me. She has questions. She has concerns and she has doubts. She has fears. She's confused. I want to be a part of that blessing you're talking about, living in joy, in hope by this Messiah, the Savior of the world. But how is it going to happen? I don't understand that through me, out of me, this baby will come, and I am a virgin. She is asking a really good question. How will this happen since I am without a husband yet? That is to say, she and Joseph have not been joined together, and she heard this is no ordinary child. This will be something entirely different. So what do? When you don't understand what God is doing, and yet you want to be a part of that blessing that God is offering you. When my family and I were still in Michigan, God spoke these words to Une and me. Now, Pastor Une is my wife. So, you know, she's my wife. Okay, good. Okay. God spoke to us, and he said these words. I am going to send you, I'm going to start a new church. This new church will be multicultural. It will be filled with people from all over the world. Okay? He also spoke these words. Okay? I'm going to bring many people to Jesus through this new church plant. Okay? Now, look at. I said, God, that sounds awesome. I want to be a part of that, but I don't understand how I'm going to do all that. I don't understand how you're going to use me. I don't know how to plan to start a new church. I don't know how to gather people like this. I don't understand, God. And why me and how? I don't understand. When God speaks, what do? We listen. Here's what Mary does. Verse 35. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, Mary, and the power of the Most High. You see the title repeating time and time again? It doesn't say just, you know, God and Lord, but the Most High. The angel Gabriel is saying, this is by the power of the Most High God. This is by the authority of the Most High God. This will happen. What I speak, God is saying, since I'm the Most High, it will come to pass. The Most High will overshadow you, Mary. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Once again, the divinity of the child is being referenced. Even Elizabeth, your relative, your cousin, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Can we read verse 37 together in one voice? For no word from God will ever fail. One more time. For no word from God will ever fail. This is where we look at this story with the fresh eyes. God is saying to Mary, whatever I speak will come to pass. You want to be a part of that great blessing I'm offering you? And you're going to have to face challenges and hardship getting there. But whatever I speak, because I'm the Most High God, will come to pass. It will happen. Folks, I didn't understand. My wife didn't understand when God said, I'm going to start a new church. And yet here we are. We didn't want to come to Edmonton. We wanted to go to San Fran. And God sent us, go to Edmonton. We said, why? Everyone's frozen there. It's no use. I don't understand why you're sending us to Edmonton. Why not San Fran? People are there. They need Jesus there too. We didn't understand what God was doing. We didn't understand how God was going to use us. And yet, when God speaks, he will bring it to pass. Let me ask it this way. What has God spoken to you? What is God speaking to you today? What are you hearing today from the Lord? And whatever that may be, however blessing that may sound, you know, just like Mary, just like Abraham, just like everyone else, just like me, before we get to the promised land, we have to endure the turns and the twists, the things that we didn't anticipate, the things that we don't want in our script, in our stories. And God says to you, it will come to pass. When you look at the story of Jesus, and you know, we sing this song all the time in the Christmas times, silent night, all is calm, all is bright. Come closer. Look at the story with fresh eyes. It's not silent. It is violent. People are trying to kill this baby. Jesus is saying, I am running for my life. I have no home. It's not calm. It's stormy. Stormy. Mary and Joseph have to leave their hometown, leave their country, and flee to Egypt to remain safe. It's not bright. It is filled with darkness, the darkness of our lostness and confusion. And yet, here comes the good news. Look at how Mary responds at the very end. Verse 38. This is the prayer that I want you to remember as you go today. Let's read it together in one voice. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. What Mary is saying, God, I'm just a servant. You know, she's between the ages of 12, 14, at the oldest, 16. That's when women got married 2,000 years ago. She is not educated. She has no experience. She's saying this, I'm just your servant, God. I am not qualified. I have no ability. But she's saying, may whatever you say, may whatever you speak come to pass. May it be done as you say. What she's saying, all that I have is availability. Use me as you say. I have no ability, but take me. Use me. Whatever you have spoken may come to pass. I don't understand what you're doing, God, but whatever you speak may be realized in my life. I don't understand how you're going to do this, but whatever that may be, let it be materialized, whatever you speak. And whatever you speak, may it be fulfilled in my life. How do you respond today when you're supposed to have all these things that you wanted in your life and your story is not being told the way you want it to be told? What do you do? How do you respond to that? The best advice that I can give you and the best words of encouragement God is giving you today is say what Mary said. God, I'm your servant. May it be to me as you have said. Consider Mary. Fast forward. If what God has spoken comes to pass, her life is ruined for the rest of her life. She would have a child out of wedlock. What that means is she will be shunned from her community. Now, friends, think it through. Today, 2017, if you have a child out of wedlock, that's disgraceful. It's looked down upon. You feel shame and guilt. You never had the wedding you wanted, but this happened. Okay? Imagine the stigma and the darkness that she has to endure if this happened 2,000 years ago in a very conservative culture, in a very conservative town where everyone knows everything. She was shunned. You know why there was no room at the inn? Because everyone knew that this was a bastard. This child did not belong to the man she is with. Her life was ruined for the rest of her life. And yet, she said, so be it. If this is what it's going to take to bring the salvation and the hope into the world through this child baby, and I have to have my life ruined because of that, then so be it. Here's what God is speaking to you today. Thus saith the Lord. God says to you, okay, this is who you are before God's sight in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Can you read that with me? I am a child of God. Because of Jesus Christ coming into the world as the Son of the Most High God, he brings you into God's family through adoption. You become a daughter and a son of the Most High God, all because of this newborn child. Let's read the second promise. I am God's workmanship. You have a plan because you are created by God's hand. And he has a plan for you, a purpose for you, and he is working it out. And therefore, no matter what happens, how your story turns upside down, you can say, God is in control. Let's read the last one. I am totally and completely forgiven. Friends, this is the good news. The Son of the Most High God, the one who was sinless, the one who never sinned anything, the God himself, he took your place and he died. By paying the price, you are completely forgiven. God sees you today and he says, I accept you in Jesus Christ, my Son. I love you in Jesus Christ, my Son, and I forgive all your sins because my Son, Christ, has paid all your penalties. Furthermore, this is what God says you are. Let's read this. I am Jesus' friend. You have a friend forever, and this friend is more awesome, more accepting, more powerful, more fun than any other friends you might have because he has come into the world. Let's read this together. I am a whole new person with a whole new life. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he, she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You have this newness in you, and you have a new life right in front of you. And last one, I am a place where God's Spirit lives. I prayed this morning with Pastor Jeremiah at East Campus, and we both prayed, and we prayed this. Jeremiah, you are the temple of the Most High God, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The same Holy Spirit who appeared before Mary, he is living in you if you come to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Let's go on. Three more. This is what God says you are in Christ. First line, I am created in God's likeness. You resemble your Father in heaven. People look at you, you go, and they say, you look different. You are glowing. What is on your face? Well, it's my Father's likeness. I resemble my Father in heaven. That's an awesome feeling. Let's read the second one. I am a citizen of heaven. Friends, yes, we live in Canada. We love Canada. We're going to become Canadian citizens soon, myself and my family. But more importantly, we belong to another country. We belong to the country of heaven. And our life is secure there. And there'll be so much joy. And that heaven starts right now, right here, in this place. And lastly, one voice, I am greatly loved. Friends, what's going to get you through today and tomorrow? What's going to get you through this untwisting turns of your story is the fact that God loves you. You are loved by God. Let me leave you with this. Next slide. Therefore, this is what God is saying to you. He is speaking to you through these words. When you don't understand what God is doing, what do? Remember what God has spoken. When you don't understand, God, why are you writing this into my story? What do? You remember what God has spoken. What did Mary do? I don't understand what you're doing, God. And yet she says, may it be to me as you have spoken. When you don't understand how to go, when you don't understand where is the strength will come from, you simply remember what God has spoken to you, because he's the Most High God, and whatever he speaks will come to pass in Jesus Christ. Let me conclude. This is how the Christmas story becomes personal to you. This is how the Christmas story of Jesus Christ being born becomes a source of hope as you face hopelessness. In all the lists that I said earlier, I was supposed to be this, I was supposed to have this, my life is supposed to be, all of that. May not happen, but here's the promise. If Christ is being born in your heart in this Christmas, you will have a greater joy, greater comfort, greater meaning and purpose, and hope through the person of Jesus Christ. I am the lower servant. May it be done to me according to your word. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, our God and Lord, thank you for giving us the fresh eyes so that we may look at Christmas in a new light. Thank you for the courage that we have seen in this teenage girl, Mary. It's not about her, though, Lord. It's about the baby in whom she put her trust. So this is what we are hearing you say. God says to you, my friends, God says to you through Jesus Christ, I love you, I accept you, and I have a plan for you. I love you, I accept you, and I have a plan for you. And God says, follow my son Jesus. He will lead you. He will give you the hope that you so desperately need today, for today and for tomorrow and for your future. I want to give a time of response. Would you just say in your heart what God is saying to you and in what God is leading you to do, therefore? Just talk back to God in your heart. God, I hear you say such and such. And therefore, God, I will do such and such. Let me just give you a moment. Lord Jesus, we come to you now and we declare you are the cornerstone, and therefore our hope is secure and solid in you and only in you. Amen. Let's stand together and respond by singing this song, Cornerstone. Jesus is our cornerstone.